Loaded Bases, Mickey Janis. How's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm just trying to wake up right now. It's a early Sunday morning.
Yeah, same here.
So you grew up in Nevada. What was it like playing baseball down there?
It was pretty good. I mean, it's not the most competitive area in Northern Nevada.
Oh, really?
But definitely some quality players that get overlooked. It's one of the reasons why I moved to California my senior year of high school was because I felt like I was kind of overlooked or wasn't getting the right opportunities. And I wanted to kind of figured I was going to go junior college route. So I wanted to get residency in California.
Oh, yeah, true.
For the cheaper education. but definitely some good quality players that don't get noticed all the time. So, yeah, it was good. It was definitely a hitter's area launching pad, in the high elevation, but yeah, it was good.
So yeah, I never even like thought about the, moving down to California, like for residency for that. Cause I went to a, camp my, senior year down in San Diego. And then it was University of San Diego Mesa college, and they said that they couldn't give out scholarships to out of state baseball.
Yeah.
And yeah. I did not even think about. I should be like, Mom, like we got to move to California like for the year.
Yeah, it's actually funny. That's the second time I've heard that, but recently, and I'd never heard that before that they wouldn't give out of state, but like one of the reasons like I moved to California again, I felt like I was going to play in California junior college. And like, I felt like I was good enough to go Division I out of high school. I got a few looks, from schools in California. They never said like, can't give scholarships out of state, but it was more of like my local school, University of Nevada, Reno, I felt like didn't recruit local players unless you were like an absolute stud. And usually those guys ended up getting drafted anyways. So they didn't go to the college, but
yeah,
I felt like they didn't recruit locally, to play. So again, that was another reason behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually played on the University of Nevada Reno field. I got to play down there and it was during a tournament for Legion ball, and then we went down there to go play in the summertime, and boy, it gets hot.
Yeah, it does. I pitched on that field once in college, didn't go very well.
Yeah, but, same. Like I had an outing on there, and it was not well.
Yeah.
So you're a knuckleball guy. How did you get that started? I mean, like, how did you just all of a sudden?
I messed around with it when I was a kid, 12, 13 years old, just pretty much like any other kid.
Yep.
And then I actually saw a special on Tim Wakefield on Fox Sports Net, and I think I used to throw it with three fingers messing around and saw the special, and he threw it with two fingers. So I switched to two fingers and went out to the next day and chucked it with my throwing partner, and it was nasty. Like, he couldn't catch it and it was like really good. So it just kind of happened naturally. And then just growing up, just kind of, you know, last 10, 15 throws, like, here's my knuckleball, you know, again, kind of like most people do, but for me, it always came like as a natural pitch. And then when I got released by the Tampa Bay Rays in pro ball, because I was drafted as a conventional pitcher, and felt like I needed to do something different to stick around if I wanted to keep playing. So when I went to indie ball, I was like, I'm a knuckleball pitcher kind of thing. I'm going to switch it up. And, you know, I had decent numbers through college, got drafted, decent numbers in the minors, but played at lower levels. You know, I just just felt like I was 88 to 92, right-handed pitcher, 5'10". Like,
yeah,
not going to get a ton of looks throwing that in indie ball as a older guy. Kind of got my opportunity as the conventional guy, and I just saw it as, like, you know, do something that nobody else does. So,
yeah, I would say, like you said, like that, like all the other kids do, like with the knuckleball. I mean, because I remember trying to think that I was a knuckleball pitcher, and then I would always joke that that's how I'm going to get drafted. And it didn't work out for me.
I mean, even if you're a knuckleball pitcher, I just feel like scouts don't know how to like scout it. So well, it's really hard to get like
so rare.
Yeah. So it's really hard to like get drafted that way. It's more of like, yeah, we didn't draft you, but we'll sign you as a free agent and take a chance on like you as a knuckleball pitcher kind of thing. But it's like they have to like see it live against hitters.
Yep.
You know, like I always say, you know, I throw a bullpen and it's like, hey, how was your bullpen? I'm like, I don't know, it was good. Like, I felt like it was good. I felt like it was dancing, but, you know, it was just a bullpen until you, like, I feel like until you see it against hitters that day, it's like,
yeah,
you know, you can feel really good about it, but then the hitters, like, see it really well that day, or it's, like, not moving as much as you thought. So, even for me, judging, because I can't see, like, the rotation when I throw it,
mm-hmm,
and that type of stuff. So, it makes it really hard sometimes for me to, like, judge how well, you know, I'm throwing it unless I'm facing hitters. But like, I do know like the feeling of like when it's coming out and I'm like, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really, you know,
yeah,
but it's like something you can't really explain to people. So,
yeah, no, I mean, cause I remember like specifically in like middle school, like when I threw it for like the first time, like absolutely perfect. I mean, like it was during like a normal practice warm up, and then I threw it and the ball did not move whatsoever. And then I just like started like running around like in circles, cause I was like, holy shit, like I did it. Like it was the craziest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I mean, people come up to me all the time that are like, yeah, dude, I threw a really nasty one. Like you should see it. And I'm like, all right, like throw it. And then they throw like a decent one. And I'm like, okay, now repeat that 100 times with the batter standing in on the mound. And they're like, that's all right. I'll stick with my one good one.
So. Yeah, for real. It's a tough pitch, and I think of that. That's what makes you unique, and it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you're drafted in 2010, 44th round by the Rays. What's your draft story like? How did that go about?
There's so much to it. It was just kind of like I had no idea if I'd get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to a couple scouts during the year that were interested. But again, you know, you don't really know until you get that phone call or whatever. Mm-hmm. And back then it was 3 days, you know, 50 rounds. So, you know, just stressing the whole time, hoping to get the opportunity. And, you know, obviously didn't know I was going to go on day one. You know, day two was like 3 through 25 or something like that. And then day three was like 25 through 50. So, you know, I'm like locked in my teammate is like locked in. We're both watching on our laptops, like in between classes at school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point I just remember kind of putting the laptop down or like stepping away from the laptop and just kind of like walking around my apartment and just, you know, obviously mad that I haven't like been drafted yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then all of a sudden kind of in the background, I just hear like, Mickey Janis, Tampa Bay Rays from Cal State Bakersfield or something like that. And just kind of like paused and I was like, wait a second. And then I like ran back over to my computer. And as soon as I started running back over, I hear my roommate in his bedroom just start screaming like, yeah, you know. And then like 3 seconds later, I get a text from the scout from the Tampa Bay Rays that said, congratulations on getting drafted. I'll call you after the draft. And, you know. That's just awesome. Kind of like a sense of relief of just like, oh man, finally, you know.
Yeah, that's because that's a lot of nerves to sit there and wait.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, nowadays I think it's down to 20 rounds.
Yeah, something like
that. The 1 year during COVID, it was 5 rounds. I'm like, I feel like the kids have no idea how long 50 rounds are, because I mean they're rapid
And
fire
they go
names. I'm
fast,
like,
yeah.
yeah, they went so fast, but it's still like a 6 hour process. You're locked in from like 9 a.m. to like, I don't know, it's probably like early afternoon when I got drafted. So it's like 4 or 5 hours of like sitting there just like waiting, seeing name after name after name after name pop up.
Yeah. So yeah, 'cause we had a few guys get drafted out of college, like where I went to, and it was pretty cool, like to see like other names get called. I would say like in like the later rounds, and it's just, I mean, like no matter where your name is, like it's still an amazing thing. I mean, like you get drafted, like that's huge.
Some other stuff that like made it frustrating I remember too is like I can't remember if it was my junior or senior year, but you're seeing names like like so and so, like nephew of so and so bigwigger, or
Yeah.
like I remember one specifically was Colin Kaepernick got drafted.
Oh, yep.
And he was from University of Nevada, Reno, like didn't even play baseball in college, but supposedly could throw like 95 miles an hour. And he got drafted in like the 20 something round. And I'm like sitting there like,
Yeah.
come on, he doesn't even play baseball, doesn't even want to play baseball,
Yeah. It's just like a wasted
So,
pick. See, 'cause I remember was who was Johnny Manziel got picked by the Padres.
yeah,
I
I
remember
remember
that.
that
And I was
one
just like, what the fuck? Like,
too.
that's nuts.
So, seeing things like that always made it frustrating because a lot of them are like you said, wasted picks that like aren't even
Yeah.
gonna go play. But just kind of how it was back then. Obviously, you don't see that too much nowadays,
Yeah.
but how the game was. So,
Yeah. No, it's changed a lot since then.
yeah.
So, okay, so between being drafted and a big date that happened for you in June of 2021, you played on 16 professional teams. 16. So has there been any crazy stories that you will always remember?
Jeez. Don't know. I mean, yes and no. I remember kind of getting traded for myself one time,
What?
in independent ball, which kind of happens a lot, but I always tell it because people don't really understand how it works, but
Yeah.
it's kind of funny. So I was playing for the Lake Erie Crushers at the time and got traded for like cash or whatever.
Yeah.
Or for or no, sorry, for a player to be named later, to the Bridgeport Bluefish, and I think it was 2013. And pitched a month in Bridgeport, and then they're like, hey, like we don't really need you anymore. We're gonna send you back to Lake Erie. So it was like I was the player to be named later.
Oh,
Technically, as the
you're
yeah, so
legit
I was like, I
yourself.
got yeah, so I got traded for a player to be named later, and then later on, they just sent me back to Lake Erie once this, because it was kind of during the Frontier League started later than the Atlantic League, and so it was kind of like spring training for the Frontier League and the Atlantic League, who I went to a tryout with in Bridgeport, so they kind of saw me pitch, and then they're like, we need pitching, so why don't you come pitch for us? Pitched a month, was kind of up and down with them. And then they ended up bringing in like some former big league guy. And again, like that's kind of how it works in the Atlantic League. It's an older AAA league. So they're just like, we're going to send you back to Lake Erie. And I'm like, all right, whatever, and
Yeah.
so I was technically like the player to be named later.
That's wild.
So that one always cracks people up.
Yeah.
But that happens a lot of times, more often than you think, but it's still funny.
Heck yeah. And so, and then on June 23rd, 2021, made her debut. What was it like getting that call?
It was just, it seemed like the day just like flew by, but it's not something like, I was kind of saw the name on my phone ring, and it was the day after an off day in the morning, and sitting in my hotel room, and I kind of looked at my phone and I'm like, Gary Kendall, like that's my manager. And usually like anything pitching related, like the pitching coach will text or call you, like, hey, you got to move up in the rotation. You're starting this day, whatever. but the manager calls you, it's usually like a good or really good thing or a really bad thing.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, I've been pitching pretty well. So, you know, obviously I kind of had a feeling once I saw his name pop up, and I'm like, and he just was like, hey, just, you know, I really wish I could tell you in person, but this is really special for me. But the Orioles are going to purchase your contract and you're going to head up to Baltimore right now. And, you know, it was just right after that, you know, he was like congratulating me. I'm making all these calls and just throwing everything in my suitcase. Like, you got to hop on a plane
Wow.
at noon and it's like 9:30, and, you know, you still got to go to the field and pack. And it was just like, you know, all right, I'm got the phone like this and I'm just throwing stuff in my suitcase. And, you know, but it was just like, it was just really special and something I'll never forget.
So you did have one strikeout against Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
That's how was that? I made a pitch against.
I mean, it's one of the best hitters in baseball right now, and
Yeah.
it was the first batter I faced, and just, you know, just went in there and just trying to attack, you know, and
Yeah.
so was just able to trick him a little bit and got him looking. And you know, still kind of a blur to try and remember all that,
I bet,
but yeah,
yeah.
it's pretty awesome, especially for it to be the first batter I faced.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I mean, if it was me, I'd have been scared shitless, man. I've been like, no way.
Yeah, I don't even think you have time to feel that way though. You know, you're
I
just kind of
bet.
like in there and you're like, all right, let's go, you know. So
Yeah.
something
Say
you're
so.
preparing your whole life for, so you're just trying to put everything you can into it and you know, just go right after him. That's really all you can do.
Say so you've on tw 23 teams total professionally. What drives you to keep playing?
Really, it's the fact that I still think I can be a successful major league pitcher. You know, obviously only got the one opportunity and it didn't go the best, but you kind of saw spurts of like, okay, there it is, that, you know. And you know, when I got called up, I was going through like a little funk in the minor leagues, actually. I kind of lost feel of the knuckleball, and you can kind of tell by the rest of my 2021 season that I just didn't have a good feel for it. You know, Triple A got sent back down, had a good outing, good inning, bad inning, and it was basically like the story of like how my outing went in the big leagues. Like, first two innings were like pretty solid, like one run in two innings against an Astros lineup that was, you know, the best in baseball at the
Stacked.
time. And, you know, then the third and fourth inning that I went out there, you know, I got hit around. And obviously, like, if you're not throwing a good knuckleball, it's basically like a 75 mile an hour BP fastball that you're throwing up there. So, you know, and that's just kind of how my entire second half of 2021 went, is I just lost feel of the knuckleball and, you know, spent the whole season trying to get it back and spent the whole off season just trying to figure it out. And really, midway through like 2022, I actually got released from an indie ball team and went home, like trying to figure out like what I'm gonna do. And I went out and I threw with Charlie Huff in LA, just trying to figure things out. And he's connected with the Dodgers, so it's kind of like they wanted to see what it was like, and but they wanted him to see me first. And I went out and threw, and I threw probably like a 40 pitch bullpen 3 days in a row.
Wow.
And I think I just like it was just kind of like hitting the reset button and, you know, just going out and throwing instead of like trying to like, got to get guys out, got to do this, got to be perfect. You know, just went out and threw, like, didn't care. It was basically like, I'm going to throw as much as I can and figure this out, or I'm going to be done. And went out there and threw with him, and he really liked me. You know, the Dodgers said they'd follow me for the rest of the season. Ended up finishing 2022 pretty strong in the Atlantic League. And, you know, just kind of went into last year's same mentality and had a really strong 2023 season. So just trying to find that team to take a chance on me again, you know, now that I feel like I've gotten the feel back of my knuckleball, and, you know, just trying to get looks from anyone, you know, and kind of just seeing what happens. And, you know, like I said, I still feel like I can pitch in the big leagues and be successful. So that's really what's behind it all.
I'd say your most recent stats are looking great, man. You are on our way back.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, just looking for that opportunity by an affiliated team to get another shot.
It's going to happen, man. Manifest that one. So, okay. So you have done content with Eric Sims and also Driveline Baseball. Who has been one of the most fun people to work with?
Yeah. So this offseason I've been training at Driveline every day.
Yep.
You know, like I said, just trying to get a little stronger, maybe throw a little bit harder. And, you know, so they've been really good training over there. A lot of great guys and stuff that you train with. So it's been great going over there. And then Eric Sim, he's been great. Invited me over a couple times to do some content with them. And, you know, he's as funny in person as he is on his videos. And, yeah, you know, he's an awesome dude. And all the guys that they work with over there at Momentum is pretty cool.
Yep.
Like I said, that they've probably been the most fun to do the content with. I haven't done too much other stuff with like social media guys like that. But yeah, he's been great. And then my catcher last offseason was Austin Shoemaker, and he has some good content that he puts out. So we were doing some stuff together too. So, and he works over at Momentum now too, and he still plays professional baseball too. So
yeah,
all those guys really just a lot of fun to be around. You know, they're hilarious to work with, and they put out some good stuff.
Yep. So yeah, I my very first podcast episode was with Alec Palmer, and he was one of the guys at Momentum back in 2020.
Oh, okay.
And that was kind of what got me like inspired to do, I guess, like, cause he like helped me like how to start the podcast and all that stuff. And I mean, like I have a backpack that's in Momentum backpack, and I still have all that stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's been, I mean, like, I haven't talked to them recently, but yeah, it's awesome that you like work with them.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see all the new stuff that they come up with and
oh, yeah,
all that. But they put out some good stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. So what do you do outside of baseball? What are your hobbies?
I mean, right now it's just chasing around my two little girls. Well, chasing around one of them and taking care of the other one.
Yep.
Got a 3.5 month old and then a 4 year old. So they keep us on our toes pretty much. But I mean, I like to stay active. So we play a lot of pickleball, you know, golf here and there, try to travel when we can, but,
yep.
You know, really it's, you know, most of the time outside of baseball is taken up by the two kids. So, enjoy cooking a little bit at home stuff. So usually the chef. But yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah, the dad life, it's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Full on dad life out here.
Do you guys watch, Miss Rachel at all?
Mm-mm.
Oh no. Dude. Miss Rachel's like our like in-home nanny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I haven't heard of that actually. I'll have to look into that.
It's a YouTube, channel.
Okay.
And I mean, she has like millions of followers. Like it's huge. And
okay.
It's like, I mean, cause we like limit screen time, like for our son. And,
yeah,
but like when it's her on there, cause it's all like educational and stuff. And oh yeah, man, he's locked in. And
yeah, I know it's pretty amazing. We do the same thing, how locked in they can be when they're watching their technology and stuff. There's like nothing else going on in the world.
Oh, it's so nuts. Yeah.
but yeah, same thing here. We try to limit the screen time and stuff, but yeah, we try to keep it educational when we can on there.
Yeah,
on their YouTube stuff. We do YouTube Kids a lot, so I don't know if that's kind of the same stuff, but
yep.
But yeah,
yeah, he And then like watching sports. We'll like the waste management right now. Like, yeah. We'll watch that, and then he'll have his like golf clubs out, and he'll just start hitting the ball.
Yeah.
It is insane.
It's fun to watch him grow. That's for sure.
Oh, it happens so fast.
Yeah.
Time flies. So to kind of wrap us up, what's your advice to the guys that are in like the minors and independent ball right now, and they think it's the end of the line and they don't believe that they're good enough? Well, what would you say to them?
I mean, the biggest thing is you got to have confidence in yourself going forward. So, you know, if you don't have that confidence going forward, it's tough to keep playing. And then, you know, a lot of the time, you know, getting a chance in major leagues is just getting the opportunity. And a lot of guys don't get that opportunity. So, you know, just because you don't make it to the major leagues, you know, I still tell people who play minor league baseball and professional baseball, like, that's still a successful career to be able to play professionally and not get that opportunity that so many other guys don't get. So, you know, that's not something to like hang your head on if you don't get to the major leagues. Like, being a major league player is pretty special. And like, you know, there's only like 23,000, you know, baseball players ever play in the major leagues or whatever the number is. So it's pretty amazing when you think of it that way, considering how many guys have played. So being in the minor leagues is still a pretty awesome opportunity. And, you know, I still tell people, like, that's still, you know, part of the success is, like, getting that opportunity to play minor league baseball, professional baseball. So, you know, I think that's not something that you should take lightly either, you know, and something you can be proud of as well.
Well, Mickey, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.